Well, as we've been working our way through the book of the Bible, I love to go through books because find out what the whole counsel of God is, what God has to say to us. And I want you to know God is always speaking. He's always speaking. Sometimes we're not listening, but He's speaking. He speaks through nature. He speaks through circumstances in life. He speaks through others. But primarily, God speaks through the Bible, the Word of God. He's already revealed truth to us. Don't go looking for other truth when the truth is already flat in front of you. Sometimes we do that because we don't like what the truth actually has to say to us. We've been going through this passage in Philippians chapter 3, and it speaks about the Apostle Paul and how he understood that it was worth it to follow Jesus Christ. It was worth it to give up everything to know Christ. Because if you give up everything to know Christ, you gain everything in the end. You gain everything that really matters becomes yours as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the kingdom of God is not about the wealth of this world, but it's really about the wealth of the next world. And the wealth of the next world is peace, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, patience. That wealth that comes from the heart of God that He wants to pour into every one of our souls. It's just sometimes we're reluctant to go in that direction because we think that other things are more important. Our ears get tuned to hear the gossip and the slander and we like to look at the fighting and it's that sinful nature in us that draws us in the wrong direction, and all the while God's saying, no, come my way, come my way. And so Paul says, as we've gone through this passage, he said that I want to know Him. I give up everything else. And he was, of course, a very religious person. He said, I had to give up my religion. Whoa. That's a costly thing, isn't it? Especially for the Jew, because their religion was their culture. And if they left their religion, they left their culture too. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's something that is just rips at you, because his whole Jewish faith and the whole Jewish community, the culture and the religion were so intertwined with each other, for him to make this choice to say, no, I choose to follow Jesus Christ. Remember that the Jewish faith at that time, the Pharisees who were in control, ended up taking Jesus and crucifying him. And the Apostle Paul said he was one of them that was involved in the persecution of Christians. And now suddenly he's turning his back on all of it. And as a result of that, he suffered deeply. He suffered persecution everywhere he went. He was in trouble. But he said it was worth it to know Jesus Christ. It's worth it to know Christ. It's worth it to follow Him. It's worth it to discover who He is and to experience His resurrection power in your life. It's worth it. It's worth it to even suffer for His name's sake. It's still worth it. And to be conformed to His death is what we talked about last week. And being conformed to His death is the idea that we die to an old way of life and we rise to a new way of life. We spoke about that last week. I told every one of you to drop dead. And I know you looked at me funny, but what I mean is drop dead to a sinful way of life and come alive to a righteous way of life. And all of us need to do that daily in one sense, because sin calls to us, because the world calls to us, and it calls us in directions that are not right. But the power of sin is strong. And what I wanted to do today was to talk about how does that work out practically in my life? How can I live dead to sin today when sin is so easily besets us, as the Bible says? When jealousy can rise up into our minds. When somebody's saying a juicy tidbit of gossip over there and suddenly your ear starts to grow. Has that ever happened to you? Where the other conversation is much more relevant than the one that's here, because that one's got some juice in it. That's sin, friends. It is. I mean, of course, the one good thing about Cheticab is there's no gossip goes on here, right? So that one there we can put aside. Sure, it is sin. The Bible says don't speak slander about anyone. Even if something's true about somebody, don't slander them. It's tough enough, isn't it? Because sometimes you're going to do something wrong. You don't want everybody spreading your dirt around the community, do you? Of course we don't. We all fail. We all fall. But kindness and gentleness and carefulness, and instead of bitterness and hatred and slander and division and strife and all those things that come together. I can remember a preacher one time saying he went to this one community, and when he went, actually it was in PEI, and he said, wow, there's like four or five churches right around in a very small area, right in the middle of this town. And it looked so idyllic and so peaceful. But he said, you know, after I was there for just a couple of weeks, I saw under the lid. It was a whole different story, wasn't it? It isn't quite so peaceful at times. And there is a lot of turmoil and strife. But I want you to know this. You don't have to have that in your own heart. You don't have to live and let sin rule in your own heart. There's a place where you die to sin and you live to God. And that's what it means to be conformed to his death. And that's why I want to share a few things with you here. And how does that practically happen in my life every day? In Philippians 3:12, the next thing he says, not that I've already attained, that is the resurrection, or I'm already perfect. You know, Paul says, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect yet. Anybody here perfect yet? If you are, you can, I don't know, go use the bathroom because it doesn't apply to you. But if you're not perfect yet, he says, but still I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul says, I'm pressing on and I'm laying hold of what God has laid hold of me for. And this is a beautiful passage. I'm not going to dwell on that today. I have that for next week. He says, brothers, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't made it yet. I'm not perfect. And of course, Christianity is not that you're perfect. It's that you're looking to Jesus Christ and you're willing for God to perfect you. And he will do that in his own time. But one thing I do, he says, I forget the things which are behind and I'm reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we see the Apostle Paul, he has a forward look, but it's a healthy forward look. But what I want to share with you today is how do I experience victory? How do I die to sin and live to God right now? How do I overcome when I'm struggling with something in my life? How can I find a pathway out of that circumstance? When temptation rises, and a lot of times people struggle with the same sin over and over and over again. And they can't seem to find their way out. And yet God tells us that there's victory in Christ. He tells us there's a way out every single time. But how does that work out practically for me? How can I live at this moment and not have a cloud between me and Jesus? You know, God doesn't want you to live with a constant feeling of guilt in your life. He doesn't. That's not what Christianity is meant to be. It's not meant for you to constantly feel guilty all the time. It's meant for you to feel liberated, to know that you're liberated in the given moment. You see, there's sometimes a misunderstanding about sin. The truth is that every one of us here have a sinful nature. You have this bent to go in the wrong direction. And that's not hard to prove that it's true. You do not have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach a child to be good. And you've got to keep on doing it. And you'll be doing it as long as you have a child. That's the truth. Now, I'm not saying that your children are all inherently evil. I'm saying that there's a sinful nature and a bent to go in the wrong direction. I think I expressed myself really early when I was a kid. I know I did. Out of eight children, Mom said, I made up for all the other ones. And not in a good way. And it was just bent to do the wrong thing. And whatever it was, and that carried on through high school, and it's just a continual thing. If God had not got a hold of me, I would be dead. I would be destroyed. I would have destroyed myself. I was almost there. I was 6 months outside of death from drug addiction and violence and driving completely inebriated and stoned and everything else. My life was a total wreck. Now, you might say, yeah, but that wasn't me. I was a good kid. You know what the Bible actually says? There's not one person that's good upon the face of the earth that does good and does not sin. No, not one. You see, the Bible doesn't want you comparing yourself to the other person. You can compare yourself to me and come up smelling like a rose. But I can tell you, if you want to compare yourself to God Almighty and his perfection, you don't smell like no rose. You don't. All have sinned and come short of God's standard. All of us have. And that can get kind of depressing. Talk about sin and talk about our failures. And why would you bother to do that? Because we need to face the truth of what sin is. But here's the thing. God has a solution for sin. he's done something to take care of sin. He's done something to take care of the punishment for sin, but he's also done something to take care of the power of sin, and eventually we'll be free from the presence of sin in heaven itself. Amen. No sin there. None. But in the meantime, we have to live with sin. Sin of others, sin of our own. And how do we deal with it? How do we cope and how do we overcome? Well, the first thing is to understand that salvation from the power of sin is in this moment. It's not tomorrow and it's not yesterday. It's right now. So if I'm struggling with a particular sin in my life, say right now I'm struggling with a particular sin, what do I do with it? Well, the first thing that I can do is acknowledge if I have sinned and haven't confessed it to God, the first thing I can do is confess my sin to the Lord. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the thing. So I can deal with the past. I can bring it to God. I can say, Lord, I've sinned. And some of us carry shame and guilt from things that happened years ago. And we can't take that lightly because I have seen that. I have seen people crushed because of something that happened years ago. Sometimes it's something that was done to them, and they're feeling the guilt of it, and they shouldn't even be feeling the guilt for it, and they're crushed by it. But I can tell you this, there's an answer for that, and it's found in Christ. Because what happens when you give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ, He says, okay, come to me, I'll make you a new person. That was the old person, this is the new person. We can start all over again with a new life in Christ. And that's what He does. That's why the term born again is used in the Bible. It's because He gives you a new life. He gives you a new way of thinking. He gives you a new walk. He gives you a new heart. You're not perfect. You still have the sinful nature. But the sinful nature doesn't have to rule your life. And so when Paul is speaking here, I want us to see that what he wants us, first of all, is to understand that he wants us to be found in him in this moment. In Matthew chapter 6, it talks about seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so he says, don't be living in the future that hasn't happened yet. Because a person can feel like they're going to fail tomorrow. Listen, if you're struggling with sin and it keeps on happening in your life, the first thing you're going to do is feel, what's the point in asking God to forgive me? Because I'm only going to do it again tomorrow. That many people feel that struggle. But the truth of the matter is tomorrow is not yours. This is the day, this is the time. In 2 Corinthians 6:1 it says, as we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God emptily. And he's writing to believers and he says this, he says, in an acceptable time I heard you and in the day of salvation I have helped you. So he's speaking about how God saved you in the past when you trusted in him as your Savior. But then he says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I need saving from myself every single day. I need saving, the saving strength of Christ right now in this moment. I need him. I need him in the next moment. And I need him in the moment after that. Every moment I need Jesus Christ. And yet, the truth of the matter is, he's available every moment. There's not a moment where he says, oh, sorry, I'm busy right now. And I mean, he might look at somebody like me, who's, you know, I think a high maintenance guy, right? And so he's looking at me, he says, I'm sorry, I haven't got time for you because Pierre, man, he's using up all my energy and all my resources. No way, not God. God is able to be a strength and a help for every person and every time. You know what it says in Psalm 46:1? God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Whatever that trouble is, whatever the circumstance, whether it's worry, whether it's fear, whether it's looking in the future and feeling like I'm not going to be able to make it, or whether it's looking in the past and feeling like what a failure I am, all of that, God is enough for it. He's enough for it in every circumstance, whether it's sin or whether it's not sin. Whatever it is in your life, God is enough, and he's enough right now. So many people are always longing, I wish I could be in this other place. I wish I could be a better person. I wish I could feel like I was okay with God. But the truth of the matter is, you can be completely okay with God right now. That doesn't mean there's room to grow. Of course, there'll always be room to grow. But it means in this moment, I can say, I've confessed every known sin in my life. and therefore I can accept that I'm completely forgiven. Can you? Can you say, the past is under the blood, the future is none of my business because I'm not there yet? Doesn't mean you don't plan. It doesn't mean that you don't look forward to the coming of the Lord. But what it means is that you don't live in an imaginary future that hasn't happened yet. Because many people live in fear of what's next in their lives. I can tell you, many do. What do we do about that? If you give yourself to the Lord, you don't have to worry about the future. Because whose hands are you in? The hands of Almighty God. Well, even if the wall of death comes towards you, which, my friend, I want you to know it's going to come. Even if that comes towards you, if you have Christ, listen, He's conquered death. He has promised, if your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, that death has no sting, that the grave has no victory because of what He has done. This is the kind of Savior that He is. But many of us are caught up in the past or in the future, and we cannot live in joyous relationship with God in the present moment. And I just want to encourage you towards that and understand that there is a victory. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And then He gives a scenario. Even if the earth be removed and the mountains are carried into the middle of the sea. Whoa. That's a major earthquake going on there. You got that, Californians? That's what that is, right? If the earth is removed and the mountains are falling into the sea. You know, they keep saying that's going to happen down there, right? But I don't have to be afraid. Even if this happens, God is my refuge. God is my strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Friends, it's a wonderful thing to discover the help of God, the presence of God, to know that God is in the here and He's in the right now. Now, you remember the story, and I think I used this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go back over it. Martha and Mary had lost their brother. He had died. His name was Lazarus. He was buried. He was done for. They had sent for Jesus and He hadn't come. And oh, how upset they were. They were disappointed. And when they came, when Jesus finally shows up, 4 days later, after Lazarus was really dead, I mean, he was buried, gone. There was no, like, okay, maybe there's a little spark of life in there somewhere. He was buried, wrapped in grave clothes and put in a tomb. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. She knew that Jesus could have come. He had healed the sick. He had already helped people. Many people. He'd actually raised the dead before this. But I mean, the guy was 4 days dead. Look, come on, give the guy a break, right? That's a bit much. And so he says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She said, but even now, God can do something. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But in some sense, she didn't understand that the resurrection and the life was standing right in front of her. Because Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Never mind the last day. Yes, of course, the last day. But I want you to know, Martha, there's something wonderful and awesome in front of you right now. I'm here right now. The one who is the resurrection and the life. The one who will call all of those out of the grave in the last day. That's the one that's standing in front of you, Martha. Do you understand who I am? He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's good news, right? Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And we know he wasn't talking about that he wouldn't physically die, but it turns death into just a doorway into heaven. That's what it does. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. And so Martha was thinking, okay, Jesus, I know you're good, and you're good for the last day, but Jesus is telling her, I'm good for right now, Martha. I'm good for right now. But I want us to know the same thing. The same Jesus that was in front of Martha, that was declaring he was the resurrection and the life, is declaring the same thing to you. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. What is the problem? What is the situation? Hey, I'm here. The problem is a lot of times we don't actually believe he's here right now. Right now to meet every need in your life. He's here right now to deal with the power of sin. He's here right now to deal with whatever the future has to hold. And he's here right now to enable you to let go of the past that needs to be let go of. The Apostle Paul said, I'm forgetting that which is behind. And in the context that he's speaking here, he says, brother, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to the things which are ahead. The Apostle Paul was speaking about all that he had, all that he thought he had. He says, I'm letting go of it all. My friend, we need to let go of things. Let go of our sin. Let go of yesterday. And take hold of Jesus Christ, discovering He's our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. And of course, we know what happens in this passage of Scripture. Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead and experienced new life. But sometimes we're trying to figure out tomorrow. We're projecting into the future. And James says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, we'll spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, where you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." And what he's talking about here is thinking that you're in control. That you're in control. You're not in control. You can make all the plans you want. How many times have you made plans and found them changed by circumstances that you never even thought of? Just all of a sudden, something else comes in the picture and your whole plan is gone. Just like that. So what he says here is, if the Lord wills, I'm surrendering to you, Lord. I'm giving the future to you. It doesn't mean we don't make plans. It doesn't mean we don't have an eye towards the future. Of course we should. It's only wise to do that. We should be planning about where we're going to spend eternity. Get ready. How do I get ready? I put my faith and trust in Christ who died on the cross for my sins, and I can settle that matter. I can be sure of salvation. That's a wonderful thing to be planning for. But what he's talking about here is thinking that we can go ahead and do whatever we want without any consequences, and that we don't have to worry about the future because, in one sense, we're in control. We've got it all figured out. Nobody has all that figured out. We don't have the past figured out. We don't have the future figured out. But we do have this moment to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you. I give myself to you. I allow you to do the living in me. And the Bible says it's arrogant and boasting and evil, and he challenges us to do different than that. And so we do need to seek the kingdom of God first. Friends, the battle against sin is not an easy one. The struggle against going in the wrong direction, that is powerful. All of us have experienced it, and many of us have fallen more than once. What can I do? In this moment, right now, I can say to Jesus Christ, Lord, you're my salvation. You're my resurrection and you're my life. You're here right now. I accept, Lord, the forgiveness for my past sin. And I am not going to project that I'm going to do it in the future. I'm going to trust in you right now and thank you for the victory. What a thing it is to be able to thank God for every moment of victory that you have. Because a moment of victory is a wonderful thing. And maybe in the run of a day, you only had one moment, but it's better than no moments. And maybe tomorrow you'll have two. And maybe you'll have 5 minutes of victory in your life. Because it's a growing thing. Because it's easy to slip, isn't it? It's easy to fall. But when we fall, when we walk into fear and worry and not trusting God, immediately we feel discouraged with ourselves. We feel, what a failure I am. And we project our future and saying, well, I guess I did it again, so I'm only going to do it again and again and again and again. And we just give up. We give up. We easily give up. I want you to understand that Christianity is always to be lived in the present moment. And in this present moment, I can say hallelujah. As far as I know, Lord, I've confessed all my sin. As far as I know, and you can't confess what you're not aware of. So you acknowledge whatever it is you're aware of, and you accept it as completely forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then I can say, now Lord, the future is yours. It hasn't been lived yet. It's none of my business. I'm going to trust you for the next moment, and then the moment after that. And when we stop trusting, and when we fail, because that will happen, immediately, what will I do about it? I confess my sin. I accept the forgiveness of God. And I rejoice in the present victory I have. If you don't experience this, you will become very discouraged with your Christianity. Because you'll think the future is in your, on you. It's on you to keep yourself. It isn't. It's in the hands of Almighty God. And it comes by trusting in His ability to save, to keep, preserve, and help you over every situation.
God is a refuge. He's a refuge. He's a hiding place. He's a place to run to. He's our strength. He's the one that upholds us. And he's a very present help in time of trouble. Don't try to live this Christian life without him. Don't live in a future that hasn't happened. I can remember when Marie initially had her diagnosis of cancer, her first wife. And we were sitting in that office, and the doctor says, he's looking at the screen, right? And she's gotten the test done, and you know, we're kind of wondering, you know, how things are. Is it a big problem? Is it a little problem? Not good, he says. Not good. Oh. And we're there, oh, okay, well, how bad is it? And when he finally swings around to us, he said, this is really, really not good. We said, well, how bad is it? I mean, what are you saying? I said, well, how long would it take? You know, what are you? He's saying, this is terminal. This is terminal. Okay. Well, how long do you think? Well, he said, I'd be very surprised if you made 3 months. And I just felt my world crash completely. I just was devastated. Now, Marie, oh, okay. I mean, she was like, she was amazing how she took this. And not just then. She had a rest and a peace from God. I didn't have it. I was overwhelmed, and I couldn't cope. We were going out to the parking lot, and I said, "I got a Tony for the parking meter, Tony." She says, "Tumor? Oh yeah." She said, "I got lots of those." I mean, she was joking. We left there, and she says, "Oh, I gotta go and get presents." She said, "Let's go to Walmart." She says, "I gotta go and get presents for the kids, in Inverness, and for your grandchildren." She says, "I gotta go and get these presents for the kids." And me, I'm just thinking, presents for the kids? You just got diagnosed with terminal cancer. You might make Christmas the way the guy's talking. But that's not where her heart was. She was resting in God in that moment. God gave her that grace. I didn't have it. I didn't have it for 3 days after that. All I did was think about, all I could envision was all the pain and suffering that was coming and all that she was going to go through. I was living in a future that hadn't happened yet. You ever been there? It's not a good place, friends. My imagination went wild. And I thought about all the suffering she was going to experience and everything else she was going to go through. And I couldn't cope with it. And of course I couldn't cope with it because it hadn't happened yet. I can't live there. Neither can you. Fears of what the future will hold, whether it's fear of sinning again or whether it's fear of what's going to happen, I couldn't cope. After 3 days of it, I went to good old Facebook. Imagine Facebook, yeah. Which gets derided a lot, but at least it was a place where I could write and I could say, I talked to Marie, but it says, we need prayer, I need prayer. And so I posted and I said, this is what we're facing, please pray. That was on a Thursday night, I can remember clearly. 20 minutes later, after I posted that, all of a sudden, this calm that came over me, it didn't come from Facebook, by the way, okay, just some, you know, but it came because people prayed. 40 people within 20 minutes, it was 11 o'clock at night, praying now. I went to look, and it's then when I went to look, it was before that, that this peace came over my soul. And that peace came over my soul, and I realized God spoke to me, you have no business living in what the future is going to be. God is not going to give you grace for that, because that hasn't even happened yet. And if you live there, you can't live now. You won't live now. And so there, as I surrendered to Jesus Christ, as I felt his presence and realized, okay, the future's none of my business. I don't know. No doctors don't know. Nobody knows. All I know is that I can trust Jesus right now. And as it happened, I was at peace, and that peace never left me over 3 years instead of 3 months. And good years. We had 2 wonderful years, 2.5 years. It was just the last couple of months that was more difficult. But did God give the grace for it all the way through? Yes, he gave me that grace, and he gave her that grace. And our room, her room in the hospital was so filled with grace that people who came in left blessed. Pastors came, four pastors came to pray for Marie and to pray for her. And when they got done praying, she prayed for them. And when they left, they were like, oh man, we felt like we were in the presence of God when she prayed. She would be driving down the road and she'd look over at me with a big smile, and after getting another chemo treatment, she says, I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. Glowing. God can do these things, friends. We don't have to be living in fear of the future or in the slave to the past. We have this moment to trust God. And I want to encourage you to this. That is, Lord, I have to die to self and let you take over in my life right now. And that happens every moment in our Christianity. Your only hope, friends, is Jesus. Your really only hope is Jesus. Strip everything else away. And I want you to know, more than anything else in every one of your lives, you need Jesus Christ. This isn't about religion of one, this one or that one or the other one. You don't come here, you don't hear me saying you need to join a religion. What I'm saying is you need to join yourself to Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you're going to miss. You're going to miss heaven, and you're going to miss the presence of God and the victory he can bring in your life. So I'm encouraging every one of us, live in this moment. Trust God in this moment. Trust his power to overcome sin. Live in this moment. Accept the victory you have right now. Rejoice in it and praise the Lord for it. Don't feel guilty for the fact you have a sinful nature. We've all got that. You inherited it. You'll have it until you die. You don't have to feel guilty for having a sinful nature. But feel guilty for the sin that you've committed as a result of it. Ask God's forgiveness. Accept it. And go on from there. Rejoice in the Lord. Be free. Be full of liberty with Christ. This is what God wants for us, and he wants for us right now. Don't think of some future day, well, then I'll walk with God. Right now is the time. Today is the day. That's what the Word of God says. I've got to quit. But here's where the victory happens. If it happens between your ears, this is what he says here. Though we walk in this body, the flesh, we don't war according to the body. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not from the body, but they're mighty in God to pull down strongholds. And the strongholds are between your ears, casting down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The battle is won or lost between your ears. It's here where the battle is won or lost. And it's here where the victory is found, as you discover that Jesus Christ is so awesome, so incredible, and so mighty that he actually wants to invade your mind. Now, we know that there's lots of old science fiction movies where they, you know, they come ooh, and take over your mind. Anna? An alien takes over your mind. Well, there is an alien that wants to take over your mind, and his name is Jesus Christ. But I can tell you this, he is the most benevolent. He made you. And he knows that if you allow him to have his way in your life, that he's not going to cheat you. He's going to grow you. He's not going to jip you. He's going to help you. And you will be the best person you can possibly be as you surrender your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body to Jesus Christ. Don't you think that you found a better way than God's way? Because you're going to find out in the end, it never is a better way. God's way is the best way, and it always is. That's all I got to share with you today. But I trust that God will bless your soul, and that you could walk out in some liberty in your life, some freedom, and enjoy that freedom day by day, moment by moment. What happens if I fail? Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to fail tomorrow. I'm going to fail the next day. I'm going to fail the next. Never mind all that. The future's none of your business now. Instead, I accept your forgiveness, Lord, and I'm trusting you for the victory. And I tell you, he's more than able to accomplish it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together. Draw us, Lord, ever closer to you. Show us what it is to trust you, O Lord, and to experience your victory in our hearts every single day. Thank you, Lord, that the resurrection power, the power of Jesus Christ living in us, living through us, so we are not a slave to the past, We are not filled with fear about the future, but we are looking upwards to a Savior who loves us and cares for us more than we can know. I give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.